Good morning, my name's Kathy and I'm one of the pastors here, and it's just a pleasure to have a little bit of time together this morning to just share a little bit of what God's been speaking to me as I open up this Word of God, talking about some of the life of Peter and how beautiful those words are. That song we just sang just reminds us again and again that our hope is in the cross of Jesus, and our hope is in the resurrection story of a risen Saviour. It's not in wealth, it's not in riches, it's not even in health. It's in the cross, the blood that Jesus spilled for us, the life that he gives us. So it's a pleasure to be able to share from God's word this morning. Have you ever found yourself in a situation that you were not expecting? We're in a situation like this. A couple of years ago, my husband and I went to his work gathering, Christmas gathering. Now, he works for a very large organisation, and like many large organisations, they've got the opportunity to contribute to the social club funds so that they can enjoy some of the fruits of that. And one of those fruits is the Christmas party at the end of the year. So when our kids were younger, we made sure that we contributed to that and were able to take them to this fabulous Christmas party that they would hold every year. And it was larger than life. They had lots of rides and food and lots of great things. Hundreds of people in that work organisation, so it was not abnormal to go along to something like that and not bump into anyone you knew because it's such a large company. So a few years ago, we trotted off to the work party. It was a beautiful sunny day. And when we got there, we rolled up to the registration area and Steve gave the person his name. We rolled up to Moonee Valley Racecourse, which was where it was being held. Steve gave the person details and they said, oh, I looked through all the lists of names, said, no, I can't actually see your name here. And he said, no, I definitely rang Denise yesterday and confirmed that we were going to be here for Denise from the social club, definitely meant to be here, just check again. She looked again, couldn't find our names, but she said, no, that's fine. I'll just handwrite your name tags, and gave us a show bag and gave us a pamphlet of what was on during the day. So we went in and we're enjoying the party, and it was better than ever. Great rides, great food. It was a wonderful time. About half an hour in, the kids were on a ride and we were standing and watching them, and I was looking on the pamphlet to see what we might do next. I looked at the top of the pamphlet and I thought, oh, not familiar with this name at the top of the pamphlet. And I showed it to Steve and said, that's a bit odd. So he picked up his phone and rang a friend of his who works in his department and said, are you here? And he said, yes, I am. He said, where are you? And he said, I'm at Caulfield Racecourse. Right. We needed to make a quick decision in that moment. Do we stay or do we leave? He said to his friend, what's the party like? And he said, oh, it's not bad. So he got off the phone. He said to me, oh, what do we do? We had a quick discussion and then made an excellent decision. Of course we'd stay. This was a fantastic party. So we had a lovely day. We didn't tell the kids because we didn't want to freak them out. And I think part of the enjoyment of the day, if I've got to be perfectly honest with you, was the element of adrenaline that was pumping through our veins as we sought to keep this facade up for the rest of the day. So if you're an employee of Cornwall Stoddard, I want to say I'm sorry and thank you. Today's Bible account is of the life of Peter when he was faced with a situation that he did not expect or was counting on. He needed to make a quick decision, like we did, different circumstances, of how he would respond in this situation. Peter was a disciple, a follower of Jesus. He hung out with those friends for a few years. And the Bible account that we're going to read from the book of John and chapter 18 in just a few moments talks about the fact that they were in a very familiar situation. They were heading into the olive grove. Some translations call it the garden. And that was a place that Jesus and his disciples were very familiar with. They would retreat there to gather together, possibly to eat, to pray, to laugh, to share the goings-on of the day and to be taught by their Lord in a quiet place, this olive grove. So they went there with the expectation of, I guess, what would have been a normal time there, to be together and to celebrate and to relax and unwind with each other. But they were confronted with something that they were not expecting. They were confronted by a bunch of armed soldiers, and they were forced to make a quick decision. So Peter's immediate decision, as we'll read in a moment, was to draw his sword. And we'll learn that Jesus' decision was the exact opposite. Jesus, in that situation, confronted with that situation, commanded peace. At the very heart of our humanness is a great passion, isn't there? We are a passionate, created people. And so it's not uncommon to consider that Peter was just the same. The Bible speaks about him being a very passionate man, a bit rough around the edges, full of enthusiasm, someone who of course would respond in such a way, a fiery way, when confronted with a situation that he was not expecting. Jesus was 33 years old. He was about to be arrested, unjustly tried, and sentenced to death on a cruel cross. So I wonder if you'd join with me as we open up our reading for today from John chapter 18, verses 1 to 14, and you can follow it along on the screen. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley, and on the other side there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who was betraying him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. Now let's just stop here for a moment and consider. So you're in this time where there was a lot of unrest in Jerusalem, and there was a lot of political unrest and religious unrest. So it wasn't uncommon when the soldiers needed to go in and confront a situation that they should be armed, because they were often faced with great conflict and response in such a way that they needed to arm themselves. Not unlike our world today in some cases. Jesus, knowing all was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you I am he," Jesus answered. "If you're looking for me, then let these men go." He was referring to his friends there. This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave to me." Then Simon Peter, who had the sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" In this moment, we realize that Jesus could see the bigger picture here. He knew what his destiny was. He knew what the call of God in his life was to do. He knew that the cross was the next step in his journey. Then the detachment of soldiers with its commanders and chief and Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. When Peter cuts off the servant's ear, what stands out? What questions come up in your mind as you consider that picture? My first question was, why? Why would Peter do that? Was he a bad aim that he'd cut off his ear? Was he issuing a warning shot to say, "I'm not going to fatally injure you, but I'm going to warn you, you're in trouble here"? Peter was feisty. He was rough and he was passionate. And it's no surprise that he should be the one who was entrusted with carrying the weapon for the group. And and we look at Jesus' response to this outburst that Peter had. That compassionate yet completely opposite response that Jesus had. He could have said, "Peter, what are you doing?" He could have said, "Great, they're all down on the ground. Peter's cut off his ear. Let's grab our fists, let's grab some stones, let's make a fight out of this and then we'll make a run for it." But Jesus' response was spectacular. It was countercultural, it was peaceful, and it was a great lesson for us today in the face of conflict in our lives. What a brilliant response Jesus had. I want to help us put this puzzle together a little bit more as we look at two very brief parts of Scripture, so from Matthew and then from the book of Luke, to see the way that they describe the same situation. So if we have a look at Matthew 26, just a couple of verses here. When Peter had cut off the servant's ear, Jesus said, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will live and die by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that says it must happen in this way?" Here we see that Jesus sees the much bigger picture. He sees beyond the immediate and he sees the Father's heart for all of creation, that he should be arrested, that he should suffer, that he should be crucified. Jesus reminds us here that he wasn't weak. He could have called an army of angels to come and intervene at just the call. But Jesus knew what was ahead and called peace. And then we read in Luke 22, Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and it was healed. How lovely that the doctor amongst the group should talk about the Jesus healing within this situation. So what are we to learn from this, friends, as we look at this today? Peter's response was to attack, to lash out, to defend his master, defend what they were doing. He was afraid in the situation, obviously, that things were going to take a downward spiral. And he wanted to draw the battle lines. And I would say that's probably a fair response, wouldn't you? But Jesus was the opposite. Jesus asserted authority here. He stood face on and said, "I am Jesus. I am the one you are looking for." Did you notice what it said in the book of John? That at the very mention of Jesus saying, "I am he," at the very mention of his name, the divine presence of the heavenly God fell upon the people who had come to attack him and they fell to the ground. Jesus' name commands authority. Jesus' name commands that these people would be disarmed in that moment. They fell to the ground. Think that in itself is a divine miracle. But he didn't run away when they were disarmed. He again says, "Who are you looking for?" Jesus turns the situation around. What could have been something terrible turned into a situation where Jesus said, "Peace." He calmed the storm. He calmed the waters. Jesus picks up the guy's ear and miraculously puts it back right where it belongs. And today, we see a world that is faced with many anger-inducing situations, right from within our homes to what we see on the world stage. Our world is in turmoil. Our world is groaning. I was reading an article in The Age yesterday which reminded me that we have a mentality today where we grab hold of like-minded people and we connect with that community, whether it's online or face-to-face, and we hold dear to that and we lash out, don't we? We see that with situations that are arising today. We see that as we're faced with sharing our opinions through a postal survey in the next week. People lashing out, angry, responding in fear. That is our human response. That's our passionate response. To respond out of fear, to respond out of worry, to respond to draw the battle lines. But Jesus shows us peace. Respond with peace. We need to make choices when we're confronted with conflict. We need to stop and take a breath and step down and seek God's face and deliver peace. There are many hot issues today. Big issues, and we talk about that amongst our friends and family, and we pray about that. We see on the news every day situations of deep conflict. Jesus calls us to respond with peace. That is the loudest voice that we can call on, the voice of peace. Jesus' example is beautiful. He saw the bigger picture. God's bigger picture in every situation is demanding that we bring peace to our family. You want your kids to see what it looks like? What Jesus looks like? Respond to your angry teenager with peace. Doesn't mean we need to back down. But we need to show the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. God brings hope and freedom to our world. And as followers of Christ, this must be our foundation. We must be pointing above everything else. We must be pointing people towards the hope and the freedom of Jesus Christ, fullness of life in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, if we have not love, we are nothing but a clanging cymbal. Our lives stand as a response to that, when we carry the peace of Christ with us, when we choose not to look at what is wrong, but choose to face Jesus head on and say, Lord, how do you see this? I talk about this often because I believe in this stance. We need to be thoughtful. We need to know what we believe in. I don't believe God's calling us to be wishy-washy in what we believe in. But he's calling us to be the carriers of peace and of his love. Our message to this world needs to be God loves you. He created you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Our world needs to hear that. Our families need to hear that. Our situation needs to be aware of that. You might remember a few weeks ago we saw up on the screen the story of the Mustard Group, the Christian group at Blackburn High School. Remember the cupcakes and the post-it notes on the lockers? They made hundreds of cupcakes to give out at lunchtime. They wrote hundreds of post-it notes and put them on every single locker in the school. Just little words of encouragement. And we've heard some great stories back from that. Simple acts of love and peace. One of the girls in the group was taking cupcakes around to the different classes that were on at lunchtime that day, and she walked into a room which she discovered was the LGBTI lunchtime group, and she was handing cupcakes out to this group, and the teacher said, well, who are you representing? And she said, we're the Mustard Group. And she said, well, what's the Mustard Group? And she said, well, we're just a group of Christians and we just want to bless our school community. And the teacher said, well, that's interesting. It's interesting that your group and my group are operating in the same school. Get your sword out. And this beautiful girl just said, well, we just want to bless you guys today. Passed out the cupcakes and left. And I thought, wow. Wow. How amazing is that? Do you wonder in that moment if that teacher's perception of what Christians were like, of what God was like, just might have shifted a little bit in that moment? I think that's a spectacular example. We have Church Unite coming up in a few weeks' time, renamed Rediscover. We'll be meeting in Federation Square, and you can get information about that in the bulletin, and you'll see a little bit more about that coming up right at the end of October 28th. And a group of us met to plan and pray and prepare for that over the last few weeks. And on Wednesday night, some of us had the privilege of sharing together in a prayer meeting upstairs in this building. And it was just wonderful to be able to worship together and to be able to pray together for our cities as believers from all different denominations. We had Baptists, we had Charismatics, we had Charismatic Catholics, and it was just such a privilege to be able to worship one God together. Our city needs to see that the ones who follow Jesus Christ are not divided. We are united. We are different. We do have diversity in the way that we worship God, but we love the same God. And our world needs to see that today, friends. Jesus calls us not to be apathetic in what you believe in, but to see his bigger picture. Peter drew the sword in that moment, seeing just the present. Jesus commanded peace. As we look at his word and his teaching, as we spend time with our God quietly each day of the week, that's where we find the peace that sits within our spirits. We all know that life happens, that there will be many situations in your life, if you're not already facing it now, that will confront you and that will cause you to have the opposite of peace. There will be difficult times, but when we have a deep foundation on God's word, with his Holy Spirit deep within us, then our response can be a different one, friends. It's the overflow that comes out when we're confronted that counts. When the world taunts you to draw your sword, be wise. Step back. Maybe when there's an argument that's brewing with your spouse or your teenage kids or with someone in your workplace, and you're ready to draw that sword, just step back. Seek God's face. Listen. We can be so driven by fear, friends. I know that parenting these days is often driven by fear. We see so many things that cause us to worry. What does it look like if we see the world through Jesus' eyes and we choose his peace? And we choose to see what he is seeing, not what our fearful minds are telling us, and to pray with confidence and to pray with boldness over those situations, that God would be in control. Be wise, know your foundations, respond in peace and love. This is the posture that delivers peace to our world and peace to our souls. God's grace is unlimited. We are to own it, to accept it, and to pass it on. I wonder if you'd stand with me. I want to pray for you for a few minutes now. Will you stand now? And let's pray together. We know it. We know it in our minds that peace is what we need, but we all struggle with it, don't we? Let's pray. Heavenly God, we thank you that you are the one who is the giver of peace. You are the one who is the giver of life. You are the one who is the giver of hope. And we thank you, God, that we as followers of you don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in anxiety. We don't need to live in worry of what tomorrow will bring, because we know the one who holds the future. Lord Jesus, come and deliver your peace, we pray. For those of us who are standing here today and we're thinking, my situation is so difficult. I am so torn and tormented with my situation at the moment. How on earth can I have peace? I want to say to you today, Jesus sees your situation. No situation is too large for our God. Lord, help us to see what you see. Help us to receive your peace right now in Jesus' name. I think some of us just need to hold our hands open and say, Lord, I need your peace because I do not have it. So you might want to do that right now. Just open your hands. because his promise to us is that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, no matter what you are holding in your heart. Maybe it's things that are going on in the wider world, or maybe it's things that are going on with you or your family or something close by. Just want to say, hold your hands open. Allow him to pour his peace into your spirits. God's peace is beyond our human understanding, but it's real. I know it's real, friends. Put down your sword. Receive his peace. And God, we want to pray for our world today. How desperately our world needs your peace. How desperately our world needs your hope, God. And Lord, our hearts break as we see the way people respond out of fear, out of anger, out of feeling like they deserve something more. We live in a world that is just lost without you, Jesus. You are the answer to the world's issues today, God. You are the answer. You are the life. You are the hope, Jesus. Only you. Of course, we would be in turmoil if we don't have you as our foundation. So God, I want to pray for us today that you will remove us from a feeling of anger as we look at what goes on around us. Lord, help us to respond with wisdom, with love. Lord, help us to be praying for our enemies. Lord, give us your eyes of love for everyone of your creation in Jesus' name. And God, help us to be the ones that clothe ourselves every day in your peace as we spend time in the quiet place with you. As we set our foundation on you, God. Lord Jesus, help us to wear your peace like a garment and to respond with love. Lord God, help us to have love for one another as a church. Spoke to someone who walked in the door not that long ago and had no relationship with God at the time. But when they walked in here and when they saw the way that people treated one another, and as they saw the genuineness and the authenticity of which we communicated together, the way we worshipped God, that was the thing that opened their heart to realizing maybe there's something to this Jesus. Maybe this Jesus is real. Because what we experience here, friends, is countercultural to a lot of what people experience in the world. We take it for granted that many people walk into these doors, walk into your lives. You are carriers of the presence of the Holy Spirit living within you. Walk in it. Receive it, own it, step into it, step on it. Know who you are in Christ and hold it as a beautiful offering as you step out of these doors today. Father God, we pray for your peace. We pray for your joy. We pray for your hope. Lord, remind us that we are the very presence of Christ in our world with skin on. May you be so evident in us today, this week. In Jesus' name.